So yeah, we good? It'll be in a minute. Takes a delay. So yeah, this is our first official Sunday here in this space. But our journey has a little bit of time to it. So to kind of get us into today, I wouldn't mind just a few minutes of telling our story by way of marking what is a special day for this family. 3 years ago, nine people started gathering in a living room in Williamstown, Mass. To read the Bible together, to pray together, to eat together, to just do life together. And what came out of that over the past couple years has been several things. One is a love for Odette's cooking, for sure. Let's not say a love, but something for Steve's sense of humor. We're still trying to figure out what that is exactly. And certainly an affection for hot sauce. All right, Andrew?
Amen.
All right. But really what was being formed over the last couple of years was the roots for a new family with a new story, but that something that was being rooted and centered in something timeless and ancient, and that is our common Savior Jesus, is what we were forming our and circling ourselves around. Thankfully, the story didn't remain just about us over the past several years. What was also born out of that group was a shared burden. A shared burden for the place that we live and we love, a shared burden for our family and friends to have a church to follow and find Christ. And so this started to take shape. Right, we can see in our context here in North Adams, you can feel, right, if you live here, you can feel the seeds of renewal, that something is happening here in an economic way, in an artistic way, that there's revival coming to our city. But one of the things that we were observing is that something that is incredibly important to us, and honestly incredibly important to our city, I mean, North Adams is nicknamed the Steeple City. So faith has deep historical roots here. And we were sensing in our context and among our family and friends that there was this progression and a revival happening, but there wasn't a like parallel revival and renewal happening in faith and in the life of the church. And it broke our hearts. And we didn't want to see this city and all of its revival. Yes, we want to be a part of that and celebrate that, but we also wanted to see the church come alongside of that, be a part of it, and have a place for people to journey after Christ amongst all the renewal that was happening as well. So we left the living room, although we kind of brought elements of it with us, and couches and whatnot, and we found this place at the center of town. Something that was visible. Something that was right here in the heart of this city so that we as people of faith can be present in our city and we can put on display the story and the glory of Christ and the work that he does in people's lives and invite other people into that same journey. We wanted to build intentional relationships with people and have them, and point them to Jesus, who is so meaningful to our own lives. So that's a little bit of the story for what was nine people growing into what we see here today. But for the rest of our time today, I don't want to just talk about our story. I actually want to take the time to point us to the story, the eternal story, and to do so on the first Sunday of Advent, which just marks the calendar for the church of four Sundays before Easter. Let's talk about the story out of the Christmas passage on the first Sunday at Advent. So let me pray, and then we're going to jump into to reading the Word. Father, thank you for what you have done here. Thank you for what you are continuing to do, and thank you for allowing us to be a part. Father, as we open up your Word, I just know my own heart, I know my own journey, and as I read and as I watch life around me, I have such a tendency to be critical and to think in critical ways. And Father, I pray that in the next 30 minutes or so, as we just examine your Word, that the walls of criticism and judgment and defenses and that we build up so tightly here can just crumble so that we can receive what you have for us, your eternal truth and your eternal grace. May your Spirit do that work in our hearts and may you quicken our tongues to praise you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, turn to Luke chapter 2. If you need a Bible, we have some for you. So if you want one, you can keep this. Please keep this. We'd love to give these things away. So if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand, and these guys can pass them around. In those Bibles, it's going to be, I think, page 591. It's going to be Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verses 8 down to 21. It'll also be on the TVs as well. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. A familiar story. Right, but I'm guessing whether this is your first day in church or not, this is a story you're familiar with, whether it's from your church history or whether you've just heard it from Charlie Brown Christmas. Right, like shepherds in a field, a baby in a manger, angels in glory making people quake in their boots. Right, just we've heard this story. But this story would be just another shepherd's tale if it wasn't for a story that was overarching this, right? Our story as a church that he even kind of clued us into here would be just another story of a community club if it wasn't connected to a larger story, if it wasn't part of something that was overarching our stories. My story of my life, your story of your life would be just another story if it wasn't connected to a greater story. And it's the same eternal story that encapsulates all of these things. So the message the angels give us here in this passage clues us into the eternal story that we should kind of hear and start to question. The message the angel gives us, we bring good news of great joy for all people. Right, we've been doing this all week this morning at our house, because this came up in our family devotional time. So I've been doing this with the kids, and we go around the table. So we bring you, this is the participation time, right? So we bring you of, for, bring you good news of great joy for all people. Elgin loves the "for all people" part. That's his favorite one to get and say that one. Good news. Great joy for all people. And just hold on a second. That sounds pretty good, right? Good news, great joy for all people. What is that? What is this good news that gives all people great joy? And the angels tell us a Savior is born. Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, God Himself, the Lord, has come to save His own people. That's the good news that gives people great, all people great joy. Right, but we just picked up in like page 591 of that book. Right, this is like starting to read Harry Potter in book 5. Right, wait. Why does that kid have a lightning bolt on his forehead? Right, so wait. Why is the fact that a savior is born good news of great joy for all people? Like we just jumped right in to the middle of this story. So let's review. Let's consider what the whole of the book is saying that we're just diving into that we celebrate at Christmas time. Because this angelic announcement that God has come to restore you, that God has come to save you, that God has come to heal his people, this is the core of the meta-narrative, the major story of what we might refer to and know as the gospel. This is the hinge moment. This is the climactic moment of the story. But the gospel news, the good news of the gospel, doesn't start with the moment of salvation. Right? We have to back up. It begins much earlier, and we have to know that before we are saved, we even need saving. Right? We have to feel that. And so the story starts all the way back at the left-hand side of the book in Genesis, that the fact that there is a loving, divine creator who created all of this. Right? That he created all people, and that he gifted to us his people, he gifted to us life, he gifted to us a place to belong, and that is geographic and relational. He gifted to us a meaning to have for our lives. And there was a beginning to this whole story that was good. That it was good. All that you and I know as the pains and the ills and the brokenness of the world, that we just say, well, that's life. Right? There was a moment in this story when none of that existed. That wasn't in there. But God in his sovereignty also gifted to us a will, an ability to choose. And Genesis 3, two chapters into this story, we get the tension inserted into the narrative, and the story falls apart because people, our forefathers, choose a pathway that makes this story about us, not about him. And the unraveling of all that was good, and primarily there, the unraveling of our relationship with our Creator falls apart. And this tension, this backdrop, this scenery sets the stage for God to utter his first promise. I will make a way. I will save. I will redeem you. And that's in Genesis 3:15, that he promises to repair and set things right. After the creation story in Genesis, after our forefathers have their first sin, which is just the first of their and our many rebellions against God, immediately after all of that pain, that sin, that separation from God that enters this world, God speaks and promises a day when there will be a but God moment for us, for all of us, and for each of us. That he promises to give a savior to his lost and broken people. And this is what the angels are speaking in this story. This is what these folks have been feeling for thousands of years from now, this waiting. This is what they've been waiting for. We're not good at waiting. Right? Especially when we read the story, we have to read into all of the books in the Bible that speak to the waiting and the journey that these people have been on. They've journeyed through exile. They've journeyed through slavery. They've journeyed through idolatry, through doubt, through oppression. They've journeyed through seasons of following God, through seasons of forgetting God. They've journeyed through all of this. They've waited a long time for God to show up. They've heard the stories of their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers and their grandmothers and their great-grandmothers. And they've heard the stories of these people, but they continue to wait. Doubt slowly chipping away at faith. They've journeyed the dark and lonely nights of the soul, wondering if God will ever come, show up, deliver on his promise. And then we get this moment, right? This is the moment that we're reading about in the story. The angels show up in a field with shepherds and say, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. That promise that you've heard about from your forefathers, the Savior has come. The one is born. The one God promised is born. It's none other than God himself. Jesus. And we should pick up in the shepherds the sense of like, well, could that be true? Really? Is it true? And the shepherds have this reaction that says they must find out if this is actually that moment that their people have always been waiting for. And boy, do they find themselves in the midst of a significant story. Right? And we know it's a significant story because we can step back and we can analyze the responses that we get, even in Luke. So there's going to be several responses here. And the first one here we get is the one of the heavenly host, right? So there's an angel of the Lord that gives this message. And then it says there is this heavenly host of beings. And when they hear the proclamation of this news, their worship cannot be contained. Right? Like we're told that they suddenly break out into song. Like there's no delay in their response. Right? This is like being at a sporting event and your team scores. Like there's like an immediacy to the fan that just, there's an eruption that comes, right? That's what we get here with the angels. There's no thinking, there's no pondering, there's no second guessing. You see, the angels are fully aware of the meta-narrative that has been playing out for thousands of years. That they've been watching God's plan play out for his people for years. They get the greatness of the whole story. They get it. And when this moment is revealed, their immediate response is worship. Singing. And here's a hope of mine for this church as we begin our days together. That we regularly reveal God's eternal glory, and then we as people respond to that in worship. And specifically, worship that is upward and eternal in its focus. I want our worship to be about, not about our story, but his glory. And yeah, there's numerous ways that we can do that and respond in worship. But there's something about music and singing. Right? It's from beginning to end in the Bible. Right? On into eternity, we're going to be singing. Angels are singing. There's a number of ways we can respond with worship. But man, there's something about people singing that is just hardwired into the way that God designed us and made us. So I'm grateful for like the team that we have here today. Which, for those of you who might be new, that was actually three of our worship leaders were up here. So today was a little bit bigger and fuller of a sound. But what a blessing. Amen. That we have the ability to respond in singing. So I'm grateful for our musicians here and their abilities to lead us every Sunday. That's something you want to join in with, talk to myself or Dave after, and we'll get you guys plugged in. But may we always orient our worship towards his glory. There's a second response to this good news, and it's almost completely different. And we see it in Mary, right? There's this internal, inward response that we get this. The shepherds come to Bethlehem. They tell everyone about this news that they heard from the angels. Like they're proclaiming that which we've been waiting for has come. Luke tells us everyone is marveling and wondering at this news from the shepherds. But Mary turns inward, right? She treasures this story. She ponders this story. She spends time contemplating this story. She is savoring this story in her own soul, for her own heart. And Mary invites us into a response here that gives us the freedom and the time to have this attitude. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know that this is good news for all people, but this is also good news for me. I know Jesus is for all people, but I want to just sit here with him just a little bit longer. It's as if Mary's reaching over and just hitting the snooze button. Just a little longer. yes, Jesus is for all people, but he's for me. She's holding it dear. And the grand story becomes very personal for her. It's not just left out here. It's brought inside her own soul. And again, I hope that this church provides a place that encourages us as pilgrims of Jesus to do just that. Spend time with him. Savor him. Sit at his feet. Sit privately with him, quietly with him, and safely with him, and just plain enjoy him. The angelic hosts respond upwardly in song. Mary responds inwardly in contemplation. And then we have the shepherds, who respond to this story with very much an external focus, in a way that is outside of themselves. Their response is to share this, and we get the sense that they're sharing this with anyone and everyone who will take the time to listen to them speak. Right? This story so impacted them that they cannot stop talking about it. They don't remain in their living room talking about it among themselves. They bring it right into the heart of the city. They go, they share it with Mary and Joseph. We're told they return home, glorifying and praising God. See, here's the part of the message the shepherds really got. This is for all people. All. Right? All people. It's like they're walking down the street and they're saying, hey, did you hear? Yeah, we interacted with angels, which, let me tell you, is pretty cool. But other than that, like that thing that we've been waiting for all these time, that our people have been waiting for, it's actually happened. There's a Savior here for all people. God has made good on his promise. They're telling anybody that will listen to them this news. This past week, Wednesday, before Thanksgiving, the tree, the main tree out here on Main Street, was lit up, right? And so there was the North Adams Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Nicole and I and the kids were walking down this way, and there was a three-year-old, four-year-old, little girl riding on her dad's shoulders, and we're walking down, and she's just like, hey, did you know Santa's coming? And they're lighting the tree, and she's like, it's that way, because we were walking the wrong way, right? And there was just like, there was this joyous bubbling coming out of her. It didn't matter who, she had no idea who we were, right? But she didn't care, Santa's coming to town, and the Christmas tree's being lit. You're going the wrong way. Turn around and go that way. Right there, we see this with children. They have this freedom to just, if they have something important to say, it doesn't matter who you are. They tell you. And there's freedom in their soul as they're doing that. That's the sense I get with the shepherds here. They are just children telling anyone that will listen the good news about their dad who did what he said he would do. And what happens to the shepherds here is what I hope happens in this church. When the gospel takes root in our lives, that we lose our story in the story of Jesus. That this story becomes the childlike boast of our tongues. But listen, this is a very familiar story. Right? And we can even sit here and reread the story, and we can even see how other people respond to it. But we have to go deeper than that. We have to press further in and say, how do you respond to this story? Right? It can't just be left as a story that we're reading about. It can't just be left out here. It has to be brought in. The fact is, we are not just readers of this story or observers of this story. We are actually participating in this story, whether we realize it or not. So a very critical, important question for us is, how do we respond to this grand eternal story of God and his people? How do we respond to the idea that this is good news of great joy for all people? So let me just say this directly. All people includes you and me. Right? It includes all people, but to feel the depth of the goodness, to feel the greatness of the joy offered in this story, you have to be on a journey that is like the people in this story. You have to know you need a Savior. Otherwise, the fact that there's a Savior there is just another story. Like, that's why we see the responses they do, right? Like, the angels don't necessarily need a Savior here because they're angelic in their being. But they get the glory of this story that they've been watching and the greatness of the and the wonder of what they're watching. So they're responding to the greatness of the story. But Mary and the shepherds, they're responding to the goodness of this story. Right? That they acutely knew they needed a Savior, and that in that they savor it and they're telling everyone about it. What's good and true for me is good and true for you. And you need to hear about it. And we must journey the same road as the people of God do in this story. We have to journey through our sin. We have to feel the weight of it. We have to journey through our doubt, through our idolatry, through our own rebellion of him, not just the story's rebellion of him. We have to feel that this is our story just as much as it is their story. We have to journey to the end of ourself. The end of this idea that we can just fix our own brokenness. The end of this idea that we can author our own truth. Right? That we can right the ills of all the brokenness or the injustices of the world around us, which, spoiler alert, all of the brokenness and the injustices of the world, all of that is born out of the brokenness in our own soul. Right? So the hope here, the greatness of this story, is that we repair our souls first. That we respond to this great story. That we recognize within ourselves, not just out here, that our souls are in desperate need of a Savior. And then we hear this news. Right? Then we get this "but God" moment in our lives, in our stories. But God has come. There's a Savior for all people, and his name is Jesus. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. Santa's that way. Right? Jesus is here. Turn your life around. Confess. Jesus is here to save you, to forgive you, to restore your broken relationship with the divine. This story that is grand in its scope hasn't changed. Millennia, it hasn't changed. But it needs to become personal for each and every individual soul that walks the face of this earth. My hope is that this church continually reveals this gospel story day in and day out, from here in the pulpit, in our worship, in our small group gatherings, that Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. May that be the boast of our tongues. My hope is that this church responds to that news in kind. Eternally. Like the angels sing. Worship the greatness of our God. Like Mary, treasure the goodness of your Savior for you. And like the shepherds, share this story with anyone and everyone. There are a lot of people here that need to hear the greatness and the goodness of this story. May this be the boast of our tongue. May this be the banner that flies over this church. Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. Let me pray. Father, we need so much grace from you to even begin to understand and believe that simple sentence. That Jesus is good news of great joy for me. Father, I know that there are going to be seasons when I follow and have faith in that. Father, I know there's going to be seasons where I forget and I doubt that, and I just need more and more of your grace to continue to teach me that good news. May this Christmas season be one where we can sit in and ponder and treasure that freshly and newly, maybe even for the first time. And Father, may you continue to build this church so that we proclaim loudly and boldly and with all joy the great name of Jesus. May we lose our story in his glory. Amen. We're going to respond actually with a time of communion. And all three of these responses that we get in the story, actually you can see this in the communion that we celebrate each week. Right? There's a moment where we can just reveal and we can worship by responding to go and remember and treasure this story for ourselves that Christ broke his body for my sins, that Christ shed his blood for my sins. Right? It's both on display and it's both for you to treasure. And as you leave that table, there's a sending. There is a calling out of that, that it doesn't just stay with you. That to partake in this is also to be one that is to go and be an ambassador of this good news. All three of these things kind of happen every week when we respond to communion this way. And so right back here in the middle of the room, Sarah and Elizabeth, there's gluten-free options available for those that need that as well. But there'll be the broken matzo representing the broken body of Christ for you. We invite you to come. If you believe that Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, please come celebrate and savor that. And you can dip the matzo, gluten or no gluten, totally up to you. Jesus is good with either. And you can dip it in the cup of wine, reminding yourself that Jesus shed his blood for you. Celebrate with us as a family.